Okay, here's a New Year's word, a promise from Scripture that you can get hold of. Turn to Jeremiah 32, verse 40. Jeremiah 32, verse 40. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I want you to get hold of that word. This is not the word for this morning that I'm going to preach on, but just a promise that we can get hold of. This is what the Lord said to them. He says, I will never stop doing good to them. Isn't that a wonderful word to take with you in 2020? All right? So you can say, Lord, you're never going to stop doing good to me. Yeah? Great. Get hold of that. That's a great promise to have. For our word this morning, okay, we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to look at some familiar verses from 12 to 16. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. And Paul writing this, and he says, not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us be true to what we have attained. Come, shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for this first Sunday of the new year, Lord. Thank you that we have the freedom to come together and to worship you. Lord, I pray for your grace, for your Holy Spirit upon me as I proclaim your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. And most of all, Lord, may we be enabled to obey your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here is the great Apostle Paul. Okay, he is writing, and he says, the first thing is this. He says, I have not arrived. Okay, now think about your Christian life. You know, 2019 is over. We've begun 2020. Are you happy? Now, we were thankful for many things this morning. But think about the way you have lived your Christian life. Now, the words are very important. The way you have lived your Christian life. Okay, not are you happy with your Christian life? We all should be happy with that. But the way you've lived it. Okay, if you were to grade it, what grade would you give yourself? Don't answer, but think about it. You know? And this is what Paul says. He says, not that I've already obtained all this or I've already arrived at my goal. So Paul is saying, I have not arrived. Okay? You have not arrived. We have not arrived. So some Christians can say, I'm satisfied. I'm very happy, you know, with what I've done. But Paul is saying, hey, I've not accomplished what I want to accomplish yet. Now think about the Apostle Paul. Okay? If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and look at what Paul accomplished. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and starting in verse 23, second part of it, he says, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Anybody here been in prison for Christ? Anybody here flogged more severely? Anybody here exposed to death? 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Can you imagine? 5 times he was whipped 39 times. Did he suffer for the gospel? Did he suffer for the gospel? Yes. Okay. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Okay. Once I was stoned. And 3 times I was, look at the suffering that Paul endured for the gospel. And if you look at his attitude towards it all, okay, he kept a godly Christ-like attitude. You remember when he was thrown into the Philippian jail? Yeah, they were beaten, they were falsely accused, they were put in stocks, Paul and Silas. And at midnight, what were they doing? They were praising God. Okay, he was not cursing the jailer. He's saying, praise you, Jesus. Wonderful. You know, I'm reminded of Kishan. He's not here. He leads a Hindi church. But he shared a testimony with me the other day about how somebody came to him and insulted him and said, caught him by the shirt and said, it's because of you that in the basti that he was living in, people know about Jesus. You know, and I think he also got a slap. And what did Kishan's attitude? Kishan was saying, do what you have to do. He was just peaceful. He didn't lose his calm. He didn't do anything. So imagine somebody catching you and slapping you and saying, it's because of you that the name of Jesus is spreading. Hallelujah. Okay. And then Kishan completed the story and he told me, he says, a few months later, the same people came to them. He says, they apologized. He says, the mother fell at his feet. Okay? And he says, that whole family, almost all of them have come to Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Woo! Okay? So we're looking at the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul had gone through all these things. He had given his life for the gospel, beaten, flogged, shipwrecked, stoned. And he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. Okay? So my first point is this. You have not arrived. Turn to somebody and say, you have not arrived. So whether you've been a follower of Jesus 1 month or 10 years or 25 years or 30 years or 40 years, we have not arrived. There is more. Okay? Now, there's a caution. If you feel you've arrived and you're happy with how you're living the quality of your life, your Christian life, take note. Hey, Paul says, I have not arrived. I have not accomplished. Okay, we've got to be dissatisfied with how we are living and say there's more to aim for. And so that is a mark of spiritual health. Okay, the mark of spiritual health where he says, you know what? I've not prayed enough. I've not given enough. I've not served enough. I've not evangelized enough. You know, the moment you say, yeah, I've prayed enough. You know, I've read the Bible enough. No, there's got to be more. Okay. So this is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Let's go on. The second thing he did is, one is he says, I've not arrived. The second thing he says is this. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Okay? Now look at what he did. He says that twice. He says, not that I've obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. He says that again. You know? Okay. So what does it mean to press on to take hold of that what Christ is? So this is what motivated him to go on. Okay, so we'll look at what needs to be done. So he says, I need to put in maximum effort to progress. Okay? So think about this. We've begun the new year. You may have some goals. Anybody made any resolutions? It's good to make resolutions. It's not bad. The important thing is that you can keep them. Okay? I was reading somewhere where they said there is a gym, okay, that lays out takes out equipment from storage and puts it out in the gym for the first week of the new year. Because lots of people join a gym at the beginning of the year. Then after 2 weeks, they pack it all away because these people don't show up. I used to be one of those people. But I've learned my lesson. I'm not joining any gyms. Okay? So that's how it is. You know? So nothing wrong with resolutions, but what's important is that we can keep them. So now Paul says, I press on to take hold of this for which Christ took hold of me. He says, I've not arrived, but I am not giving up. Okay? Maybe that can be our New Year's resolution, to say, I thank God for 2019. So much has happened. Okay? So much has, I'd planned to do these things. They haven't worked out. But that's okay. In 2020, I am going to press on and move forward. Okay? So let's see what he talks about. So first of all, this pressing on is a picture of extreme effort, of stretching. Okay? It's not a casual walk in the park. Do you know the difference between a marathon and a 100-meter sprint? Nahum? Nahum has won some marathons. He's our marathon man there. And let's give him a hand. Yeah? He came out second in the... Right. Which marathon was it? In which place? Ahmedabad was it or Aurangabad? Aurangabad, yeah. He came out second there. Just turns up there and runs and wow, amazing. Little training and you would have come out first. But anyway, so there's a difference between how you run a marathon and a 100-meter race. Okay? In a marathon, do you just zoof? Do you go that way? No. You pace yourself because you've got a long way to go. But in a 100-meter race, what is it? It's a sprint. You're off the blocks and within 11 seconds, it's over. That's it. Yeah? Before you can think, wink or blink, they've reached the other end. So there's no time to, to meander, to look around, to do anything. And so that is the picture here about I press on to take hold of it. It's not a marathon. It's a 100-meter race. Have you had this experience? You're going to catch a train. Okay, the train is at 5, let's say it's 6 o'clock in the morning. You reach the platform at 5:59. How do you walk towards the train? Run, you sprint. Yeah, you don't think, wink, blink, you don't say hello to anybody. You just take it and you run and jump into the train. Okay, now that's the picture of how God wants us to press on in our Christian life. Extreme effort, importance, immediacy, quickly. Here are some pictures of that. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Okay? Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Okay? So what is Paul writing to Timothy? Says, fight the good fight of faith. You know, you don't find fighters fighting casually. Have you ever seen a boxing match? You know, world heavyweights, they are geared up. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Okay? So the second point is this. Extreme effort is needed in order to grow in our spiritual life. It's not a casual thing. Okay? Now, a couple of things we need to consider here that can hinder us from making progress. One thing is this. Paul says this. Forgetting what lies behind. Now, 2019 has gone and I'm sure all of us have regrets about things we have done or not done. Things we have said or not said. Do you have any regrets? Yes. We are not perfect. We've done things we shouldn't have done. We've said things we shouldn't have said and vice versa. Okay? But Paul is saying here, he's saying one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind. Because what can happen is the past can weigh us down. And we can think about it. Okay? Forgetting what is behind, he says, what lies behind, and straining forward to what lies ahead. That has to be our mental attitude. Okay? 2019 is gone. Forget what lies behind. Now your focus should be on 2020, straining towards what is ahead. Can you imagine a guy waiting at the blocks, ready to run the 100-meter race? Okay? And he's thinking, oh, you know, I shouldn't have had that big plate of biryani last night. Okay? Now listen, what's done is done. Now you've got to run. That's it. Okay? So the same thing with us. Whatever we've done, we have regrets. Okay. The blood of Jesus covers that. Forget it. Let's now move ahead. I press on towards the goal. Now let's look at what Paul says. He says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Straining. Again, you know, straining implies extreme effort. It's not a casual thing. It's stretching out. Okay? So remember this. In our spiritual walk, God wants us to exert effort. Okay? Now, what does he say? I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? Look at verse 12. Can we look at verse 12 in Philippians chapter 3? He says, I press on to take hold. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. What is the goal? Think about it. What is the goal? Paul is saying, Jesus Christ took hold of me for a purpose. That is my goal. Okay, we've got to understand this. Paul is saying, I press on to take, we're pressing on, we're exerting effort, we're running, we're fighting the fight. What are we doing it for? To take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Let's look at that. You know, Paul was a persecutor of Christians. He went around putting Christians in prison. And then one day, Jesus Christ took hold of him. You remember the day? Yeah, on the road to Damascus. A light from heaven came, blinded him, blinded the others. And a voice said, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? On that day, Jesus took hold of Paul. Was it a life-changing day? Life-changing day. From being a persecutor of the church of Jesus Christ, he became a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, 180-degree turn. Now, Paul says, that day, God took hold of me for a purpose. And he says, I'm living my life for that. Okay? Now, we need to realize, now think about it. Which was the day that God took hold of you? When did Jesus take hold of you? Remember that day. You know, I don't think Paul never forgot that day when Jesus took hold of him. Three times he shared his testimony in Acts. And each time he spoke about how God took hold of him. Okay? Remember that day when God took hold of you. That was for a purpose. Now, unless we know what the purpose is, we can get lost a bit. Okay? What is that purpose? And that purpose is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. Let's look at that. Romans chapter 8, 29 and 30. Okay, it says, For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. The goal, my dear friends, is that we might become conformed to the likeness of Jesus. And we've got to get this clear. Our goal in life, our goal, the ultimate goal for 2020, is that you and I will become like Jesus. That's the goal. Okay? That we will become like Jesus in his perfections, in his character, in his attributes, in his qualities. Yeah? Now, we will never become completely like Jesus. He was fully God, but he led us an example that we should follow. Now, you know, many people have different goals. Some people say this, my goal is to get married. My goal is to have children. My goal is to make so much money. My goal is to complete my education. My goal is to move abroad. My goal is to, you know, and I think somewhere we are mixing things up. Those are all good things and valid things to aim for, but the ultimate goal is becoming like Christ. Let me give you an example. Let's say, you know, we've got all these super intelligent people here. We've got Asha, we've got Reno, they're all doing their PhDs. Asha has already got her doctorate. Reno, you've got your doctorate on the way there. Anyway, all these brilliant people. Imagine they're doing research, okay, for an institute, a reputed institute, and trying to find the cure for cancer. Great. Isn't that a noble thing? That's the goal. Find the cure for cancer. And they're employed by that institute. Imagine one, and that institute has a nice canteen that serves a good vada pav. Okay? Great. Now, can you imagine them going to work saying, ah, I'm looking forward to the vada pav? Is that what you're living for? No. You're living to see a cure for cancer. The nice vada pav and the chai is just there along the way. Did we get that? You know, but it would be really absurd if one of these brilliant people says, I'm looking forward to going to work tomorrow because I'm going to have a nice vada pav with hot chai. They've missed it, isn't it? What do you, oh, no, you're again. Yeah, okay. So that is the same thing with us. Jesus has taken hold of us, and the goal is he wants to make us like him so that for all eternity, we will be with him, like him, perfect. But we can say, really, I want to. You know, and the things along the way, the vada pav, the chai, they are good and needed. You need to have lunch, you need to have a snack, you need to have tea, but they are not the ultimate goal. That's the difference. So earning money, getting a job, you know, getting married, kids, education are all good and necessary. I'm not saying they're bad. But they should not be the ultimate goal. That's the difference. And so what God will do is, he will allow us to go through whatever is needed to become like Jesus. For example, if you take a diamond, yeah, you find a diamond, do you just go around the ground and pick up a diamond? No. It's a piece of rock. You take it, you got to cut it, you got to purify it, you got to break it, you got to polish it. It's a long process. And that's how it is with us. Okay? God takes us, and he allows us to go through, like Paul went, challenges in life. Beaten, shipwrecked, stoned, whipped, all kinds of things. And we say, Lord, you're so powerful. Couldn't you have intervened and saved Paul? Couldn't God have done that? Yes, he could have done that. But in his wisdom, he chose not to. Because what he was doing, he was fashioning a diamond, becoming in the likeness of Jesus Christ. So in our lives, when we face challenges, it's God fashioning us to become more like Jesus. Okay? So what we need to do in 2020 is got to change our mindset to say, my ultimate purpose is to become like Jesus. Along the way, there are blessings. In fact, there are blessings and there are trials. Both the things come together. Have you noticed that? Yeah? There are great blessings. Rick Warren was writing this. He says he wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Anybody read it? Okay, I want to tell you, if you've not read it, 2020, get hold of it, read it. Okay? He wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, that became the world's best-selling Christian book. Wow. World's best-selling. It's gone into millions of copies in 20, 30 languages. Isn't that amazing? So he says, great blessings came. That same year, his wife, Kay, got cancer. Okay? Great blessing this side. Great trials this side. Why? How? We don't know the answer. But what we do know is Christ has taken hold of you. He has taken hold of me. All things are working for our good to make us more and more like Christ. If we keep our eye on the goal, and the goal is becoming like Christ, yeah, we will be able to move forward. Right? And that's what we need to do. So that's So that's the Apostle Paul says. So we've not arrived. Maximum effort is needed. Extreme effort is needed. The goal is to become like Christ Jesus. Okay. Now, how do we wrap this together? Now, let me see what Paul says. He says something else. He says, I press on towards the goal, verse 14. For the, well, look at Philippians 3, verse 14. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then Paul goes on in verse 15, and he says this. Let those of us who are, all of us who are mature, say the word mature together. Mature. All of those who are mature should take a view of such things. You see, mature people will embrace this. Mature people will embrace it. Okay? Those who are still in Christian infancy will find this difficult. And I want to encourage you to move on to maturity. To say, this is what I need to do. I've not arrived as a Christian. I may have been a Christian 30 years. Served and done all kinds of things. Been a pastor or a leader or done whatever. But not that I've obtained all this. There's more. There is more. I need to do something. I need to put in extreme effort, maximum effort, in order to move forward towards the goal. Okay? And the goal is becoming like Christ, Christ-likeness. Now, what can we do? Let's put it down to practice. This is one of the things I have decided for myself. One of the things I've decided is I want to finish reading through the Bible this year. Okay? Now, this is my goal. If you'd like to join me in that, wonderful. There are great Bible plans. Asha sent us one the other day. I'm using a plan by Nikki Gumbel. It's there on the YouVersion Bible. It takes you through the, there's a devotional as well as Bible readings for the day. And my goal is, you know, spiritually saying, I would like to do that. And read through the Bible this year. I've done it in the past for many years. But this year I want to be consistent and just make sure I do that. Okay, so a simple spiritual goal. Think about you. What is a spiritual goal you can attain for this year? Just think about it. But it's got to be something that is going to stretch you. Okay? Remember, we're running a race. Something that is going to take effort. Don't make it too easy. Don't make it impossible. But something that will stretch you. Just to tell you, on reading the Bible, if you were to read 3 chapters a day, that's it. 3 chapters a day and 5 chapters on a Sunday, you'll finish the Bible in a year. Isn't that great? It's achievable. 3 chapters. I mean, just think about it. You can sit on your phone and go through Instagram or read Twitter or look at the news. And I tell you, within a blink of an eye, 1 hour has gone. Isn't that true? It's happened to me. Isn't that true? Yes. You know, just reading the posts and WhatsApp. But listen, 3 chapters a day, 5 on a Sunday, and we'll complete the Bible in a year. That's a worthy goal. But think about it for yourself. What is something that you can commit to spiritually this year? Write it down, share it with somebody, and let's, God wants us to put in that effort. Okay? The second thing we can do is, want to do something that involves people. We can be, one of the challenges of today's cyber world is that people are so caught up on their phones. Have you noticed that? Yeah? You'd see a group of people sitting down together, and 5 out of 6 of them are on their phones. A lot of them are. And so somehow, you know, can we make it a goal to spend time with people in flesh and blood, not online only? All right? It's really crazy. They're sitting in a group and texting one another. Okay? So it's good to spend time with one another, flesh and blood, talking, you know, physically. And that's one of the goals I've made for this year. Is I want to spend time in, you know, with people, not necessarily bigger groups of people, but with You know, couples, two, threes, smaller groups. Okay? So I want to encourage you. Can we do that? Spending time with one another. Okay? In the church and out of the church. And really, the goal is to help people grow in Christ's likeness. So the purpose of meeting together, okay, is to take us more towards Christ. So who we meet with is also important. All right. The third thing that I'd like to commit to this year is, at the end of the day, the gospel needs to be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. Okay, to invest more of my time to see that happen. In December, I didn't get a chance to share with the church, but you know, I had the opportunity to visit Varanasi in the first 29th, 30th of November, 1st of December. Varanasi. It was great going there. I trained 25 young pastors in preaching the word. Okay, we had two full days of training. It was amazing. Okay, now, maybe we will not be able to go to UP, but you have gone to UP through me. Okay, we've gone there. We've trained these pastors, all of them Hindi speaking, none of them from a Christian background, all of them trained in preaching the word, all of them leading churches. Wow. Okay, and so I want to devote. So now God's calling upon you may be different, but somewhere, say, I want to take the gospel out. Whether it means proclaiming the gospel, whether it means witnessing to your colleague at work or inviting them for something or training somebody, but we are in some way involved in taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. So I want to bring this to a close this morning, okay, to say that Jesus Christ has taken hold of you. Samantha this morning, during the worship, she said, I'm so happy to be here in 2020. For those of us who are 50 and above, more than half our life is over. Much more. It's true. All right? That's how it is. And but what we got to say is, hey, I'm straining ahead to what God has in store for me. We got to make the best of this year. Okay, I want you to join with me in thinking for a minute. What are the commitments you're going to make? Okay, something. It won't happen automatically. You have to decide. You have to write it down, and you're going to commit. Talk to somebody about it. I've spoken to you about my commitments. Okay, but this is what Paul did. Jesus took hold of you for a purpose. You have a great life ahead. Okay? He's got great plans for you. Let's take hold of it. Can we close our eyes for a minute? Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. What changes will you make in your life? Would you commit to make in your life? Okay. Is it? Maybe it's a simple thing. Reading your Bible every day. That's it. Praying. Maybe it's being faithful in just coming to the meeting on time or being part of the men's prayer. Maybe it's reaching out to a colleague at work or your neighbor, just investing time with people. Maybe it's serving in some way or reaching out to the poor. Or maybe it's being faithful with your finances and tithes and offerings. Maybe it's saying, I'm going to invest in myself to grow spiritually. You know, whatever it is. Yeah. We've not yet arrived. Whatever you're committing to needs extreme effort. Okay? It's a sign of maturity when you do that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this new year that you have given us, Lord. Each day is an opportunity to bring glory to you. Lord, I pray for each one of us that at the end of 2020, we look back and say, wow, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Lord, we cannot do this by ourselves. We need the enabling of your Holy Spirit to do that, Lord. Would you help us, Holy Spirit? to become more and more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Wish you all again a happy new year, 2020. God bless you. Yeah, remember that promise from Jeremiah? Yeah, God is going to do good to us. Okay?